Numbers 21, verse 33, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og the king of Bashan went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle of Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not, for I have delivered him into thy hand, and all his people, and his land, and thou shalt do to him as thou didst to Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord praise. Amen. For the word today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's listen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, worthy. We bless you this morning, God. We thank you today, God, for your purpose, for your word. I thank you, God, for your help. We see the Lord, God, to heal. To heal today. We just thank you, God, for your spirit. Heal and act of mine. Father, I can interrupt during the fear. Let us talk to heal today, Father. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated today. And if the Lord will allow me, silent giant killer. Look at your neighbor and say, the silent giant killer. Hallelujah. Amen. For you today, that I mean, probably, amen, many of you have seen before, but this is a picture here. And of course, in this picture is a man by the name of Robert Wadlow. He is the tallest man in recorded history. He was 8'11" and weighed 439 pounds at the age of 22 when he died in 1940. Amen. Robert Wadlow was from Alton, Illinois. He was often referred to as the Alton Giant. Amen. But he died at the age of 22, amen, standing 8'11". You an idea of even those men that are pretty tall, amen, standing kind of gives you an idea of all different heights there. Now, the tallest living person currently is in Turkey, and he is 8'2" tall, amen. So he's not quite as tall, amen, as Robert Wadlow, amen. But we know that giants in the Bible are not anything that are uncommon. We really don't see them a lot today, amen. But we see them in the Word of God, and it's not anything that's uncommon. We see them dwelling as a race in the land of Canaan. You remember when the spies went, amen, from the Israelites, and they went to spy out the land, and they said, they are giants, and we are like grasshoppers. Amen. And so that these giants, so there was giants living, a race of giants living in, amen, the land of Canaan at the time when Israel was going to take, amen, possession. Well, the most well-known giant in scripture is Goliath. Amen. Goliath was a Philistine, amen, who stood against the army of Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know that David, who was anointed by God to be king of Israel, defeated Goliath, amen, with just a stone. And so we hear all kinds of messages. We teach all kinds of lessons. There's several songs, amen, that have been written about the slaying of that is really not necessarily have a church background has heard before about the story of David and Goliath. Amen. And when we're in the spirit, amen, spiritually speaking, we always defer to Goliath. Amen. Often messages preached on Goliath turn into messages about giants in the spirit. Amen. And it always defers to Goliath. Amen. But there's another account, amen, according to the scripture of defeating a giant. And that account is found in Numbers chapter 21. Amen. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, Shane, you will see a detailed account of this defeat of this giant in Deuteronomy chapter 3. It is also referenced in Joshua chapter 12. In Psalms 135 and Psalms 136. Amen. So this defeat of this giant, amen, is mentioned several times and brought to our attention in the scripture. We see, amen, that Moses was leading the people of Israel into the promised land, which was Canaan. The Bible says in the scripture pertaining to this particular story that we read to you, amen, just an excerpt out of Numbers 21, amen, that the Bible says that they drew closer as they moved westward towards the Jordan River. Amen. The Bible says they were passing Bashan. Amen. Was called the land of Og. Why? Because Og was the king of Bashan. Amen. So it was referred to as the land of Og. Now, Bashan was a very fertile land that was known for its rich pastures. Amen. And its abundant livestock. The name Bashan in Hebrew actually means fruitful. So if there's no stones in the ground, not a lot, amen, to interfere when the seed is planted. Remember when Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower, he talked about planting seed in stony ground, that it'll choke out and it'll keep the roots from being able to go down deep. But Bashan was a stoneless ground. It was a fertile place that, amen, that abundantly, amen, brought forth great fruit and was rich, amen, in pasture for, amen, the livestock and the animals. And as they were nearing and going past Bashan, the Bible tells us that God spoke to Moses. And he told Moses, he said, I don't want you to fear King Og, because, he said, I have already delivered him to you. Amen. God said, don't fear King Og, because I have already come into your hands. I've already handed him over to you. Hallelujah. I'll get to that in a minute. And when we look at the name Og, amen, it means round. But it comes from an ancient root word that means to move in a circle around a fixed point. Amen. And that's interesting. We'll get to that again here in just a little while. Amen. But why would Moses have reason to fear King Og? Why would God tell Moses, do not fear King Og, because I have already given him into your hand? And to be able to understand what God was saying, we need to look at the Hebrew word used for fear in this particular passage of scripture. The word fear here is the Hebrew word yare. It means to fear or to morally to revere or to dread. Amen. Like you see, Moses had a reason to actually be afraid of King Og, because King Og was a giant. King Og was not an average man. But as we looked at the picture of Robert Wadlow and how he stood out from among even those that would be taller than average, amen, we would see, amen, that his stature was pretty great. Amen. Now it's interesting to note that Goliath was 9 foot and 9 inches tall, but according to the scripture, King Og was somewhere between 12 and 13 feet tall. So Robert Wadlow was almost 9 feet 9, just about 10 inches or 11 inches under Goliath. Amen. But King Og was 12 to 13 foot tall. How do we know? know this? Because Deuteronomy chapter 3 tells us that he had a bed made of iron. Amen. An iron bed. One low at 8 foot 11, weighed 439 pounds. We don't know how, actually how big in terms of what we would call fat or large, amen, that King Og was, but just his height alone, over 500 pounds. And so his bed was made of iron. Not only does it tell us that his bed was made of iron, but it tells us that his bed was 13 and a half feet, 6 feet wide. And so seeing that his bed was 13 and a half feet long, he was probably somewhere between 12 and 13 feet tall. Amen. So Moses had there's another word that in the Hebrew that's used for fear, and that is the word pakad. Pakad is used for fear when, someone is exhibiting terror for their safety. So this was not the word for fear God used when he was speaking to Moses concerning this giant king. Amen. He wasn't telling him, not to fear for his safety. It wasn't in the sense of Moses being terrorized or being afraid for his safety. Hallelujah. It was Yahweh, which means to morally to revere. Now King Og was of the Raphaim race, who was the race of giants that the 10 spies, as we mentioned before, were afraid of. Amen. So they were afraid of these giants. And the Bible tells us, amen, that King Og was of this Raphaim race. So just stepping up to a giant like King Og, who was 12 to 13 feet tall, I'm 6 foot tall, so double me, amen. Put two of me, one on top of the other, that's 12 feet tall, so that's pretty tall, amen. And put in perspective, as we showed you the picture of the man that was 8 foot 11, just stepping up to the giant is enough to establish your awe and respect, which is what the term for fear Yahweh means, which is what is the word that God used with Moses when he was telling him, you do not have to fear him. Have you ever walked up to a giant building or walked up, amen, to a large structure and you're like, wow, you would walk up, amen, to a 12-foot man, amen, and you would be like, wow, right? You would be like, wow, that is the tallest person. And I do that myself when I see somebody out in public and they stand heads above others. I'm like, wow, that dude is tall. He is very tall, amen. And it's always funny to me when people look at me and tell me I'm tall because I don't feel tall. Amen. But just walking up to him, amen, would have been enough to establish that awe and that respect. Like, you know, hey, that's a giant right there, right? That's somebody that I'm not going to mess with. Let alone if he would take out his sword and put it to your neck. Amen. Now that would evoke pakad. That would evoke terror, or you would be, amen, worried about your safety. You would fear for the safety of your life. But this is not what God, amen, was that fear that is born out of self-preservation. Like, I've got to do something to protect myself. I don't believe Moses was fearful for his life. Amen. Based on the Hebrew context here. Amen. I believe that God had brought Moses through so many trials and so many tribulations. Amen. He had brought Moses. Amen. He saved him at birth. Amen. Rescued him, preserved him, and kept him. Amen. Saved him from death threats. Amen. God, hallelujah. wars, the rebellion of his people, amen, the threats on his life. I don't believe that Moses feared for his life. Hallelujah. But God, I believe, was saying to Moses, don't be awed by Og. Don't you dare be awed by him in the sense that you give him respect because of his height or because of what he looks like or because of who he is compared to all of the others. I believe God was saying, I created that guy and I can take him out in an instant just with my thumb. I'm the one that created him. Amen. And don't you dare give him any awe or respect. Now see, what you got to understand is the Bible says that King Og was the last of that Rephaim race in his land. So he was the remnant, amen, of the Rephaim giants. He was just a remnant, amen, that it was the last to be defeated, amen. God, not only Bible says, also all the people, amen, and all the cities, which the Bible says there were 60 cities in all, there in the land of Og in Bashan. So God not only had already delivered the king into, amen, the hand of Moses, amen, but he had also delivered all of the people, all of the inhabitants, and all of King Og's people, all of the cities. The Bible says everything, all of the people, amen, was delivered into the hand of Moses, and all that was left was all of their livestock, and all of their harvest, and everything that was there as a result of that fertile ground. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that those cities were even fortified with high walls, gates, and bars, amen, besides the many rural towns. So think about this. As Moses is crossing and leading Israel now into, amen, the Canaan land, and they come by Bashan, and there is the land of Og, and there is this 13-foot tall king who rules over all 60 cities. All the cities are fortified with high walls and bars, amen, and everyone in the land honors and respects King Og. And God is now telling Moses, before you even got here, before you even got to this point, I had already set to give it to you. I had already promised deliverance ahead of you. Can I tell you today that as we journey with our heart posture in pursuit of truth, as we journey with our heart posture, amen, in pursuit of true worship for God, as we seek to honor him, as we seek to serve him, as we seek to yield to him, amen, and as we step into and continue to walk in covenant, amen, that everything we encounter, whether it's been commissioned by the Creator or whether it's sent by the enemy, everything that we encounter, God has already went ahead of us, and there is deliverance already scheduled. Look at somebody and say, your victory is scheduled. Hallelujah. I believe that. I don't know when it's going to happen. You see, we like to know the timing of everything. I don't know when it's going to happen or come to pass. But I can tell you this, that if you are in pursuit of the truth and the will of God in your life, and you have purpose to live out his covenant, and you are following after him with a heart that is pure, I didn't say perfect, I said pure, with your intentions in the right place. Hallelujah. He didn't give us grace so that we could sin, but he gave us grace that if we fail, are you hearing me? Amen. And so if you are in pursuit today, I don't know who's going through what, but the Lord spoke this to me the other day as I was standing in work. Spoke this title to me, hallelujah, amen, and remind me of the story of Moses and killing the giant, the story that nobody talks about, the story that you don't hear anybody preach on. Everybody likes to preach on David and Goliath, hallelujah, but listen to me, whatever you are facing, if your posture is right and your heart is positioned and you are in covenant with him, I promise you that what you are going through will not last. It cannot, because that refutes the word of God, and the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Can somebody give the name of Jesus a hand clap of appreciation this morning? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Your victory is already so. And here Moses, if he looked with the natural eye, the land of Og, amen, fortified all 60 cities, amen, that's a lot of territory, amen, fortified with high walls, bars, can't see in them, amen, that means that there's good military reinforcement, that somebody who's in charge is really in control. And now the giant, the one in control, stands 12 to 13 feet tall. One that is intimidating, amen, just by his presence. But God said to Moses, he said to him, you will treat him like King Sihon. Hallelujah. When, amen, you took victory over, amen, the Amorites. You see, that victory, when Moses, amen, was taking the children of Israel, and they wanted to pass through King Sihon's land, he asked if he could pass through, and King Sihon refused to let him pass through. But God allowed Moses to defeat and to destroy King Sihon. He was just an average man, nothing to write home about, no stories about King Sihon and his height and all of his intimidation, amen, abilities. Hallelujah. God said, you're going to treat him just like he is King Sihon. So that's why God said, don't give him any awe or respect. Don't give him any reverence. When you come upon him, you think of him just like King Sihon. How tall are you? 5'7". Amen. So let's say that King Sihon was only 5'7". And now you got King Og, who is anywhere between 12 and 13 feet tall. Two times two of me, amen, in height. Amen. When Moses came upon King Sihon, it wasn't intimidating. There was no reason to give him respect and revere or to say, wow, hallelujah. Amen. Compare that just like the picture of Robert Wadlow. Amen. With that little child. Hallelujah. God said, when you come upon King Og, I want you to treat him as if he's just another person. Don't look up and look at him like, oh my gosh, wow. He is 12 foot tall. Thank you. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to treat him just like you did King Sihon. Because and I will deliver him into your hands. We don't see where Moses said, God, how you gonna do it? We don't see where Moses looked at his army and said, I don't know, amen, by the looks of what we got, amen, compared, well, if King Og pulls out his sword, he could, amen, strike all of us. Remember how big Goliath's sword was, and he was, amen, 3 foot shorter, amen, than King Og. Imagine, amen, Moses didn't say, well, God, and let's take a look at this. Let's evaluate this. Let's see what we're working with here. There's not a whole lot to work with. God, compared to that, we are just a people. That's 60 cities, God, that are fortified, well kept, and they're well secured. And you're telling me that somehow we are going to gain access into the whole land. And not only are you going to give us, amen, King Og, but you're going to give us all the people. Hallelujah. The Bible says that when Moses and the Israelites, hallelujah, amen, that it was a tremendous victory. Why? Because they were able to destroy and defeat King Og, all his people, on the walls of the fortified city. And if they didn't tear down the walls, then they were given the keys to the gate. Somebody, do you hear me? Every guard that stood at the gate of the city, hallelujah, I believe if King Og was defeated, that when Moses and they began to invade and they began to kill the people, that when they would come upon the guards, amen, that were guarding the city gates, amen, if they were locked and barred according to history, amen, that they would hand them over the key, that they wouldn't even hesitate to hand them over, to tell you that when you keep the enemy, amen, under your feet, and you keep him defeated, spirit that you encounter knows and recognizes who you are. Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, that whatever you loose on earth, loose in heaven, whatever is bound in heaven is bound in earth. Look at somebody and say, I got the keys to the kingdom. Because you got Jesus, you've got the keys to unlock it. Has to offer. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, and it's none of my business. But I'm here to tell somebody, you feel like you're facing a giant, and you're standing looking up at this giant in awe, and thinking there's no way that that's ever going to happen. But I've come to tell somebody, hallelujah, we only hear about David's defeat of Goliath. Amen. Og was a bigger giant with more power, more authority, and possessed more than Goliath did. Amen. But we never hear about the defeat of King Og. Amen. Moses was a silent giant killer. But I've come to preach to somebody today to tell you that, amen, just as Moses, you need a silent giant. It ain't about who knows about it, who writes about it, who talks about it. Are you with me? Hallelujah. He was even a bigger giant. But I don't know that I've ever heard anyone preach personally about King Og. And if I have, it was so long ago, I can't remember. I know I've mentioned him and talked about him before. But there's a million messages on David and Goliath. There's all kinds of ways and angles. If you look in 1 Samuel 17 in my Bible, you're going to find all kinds of notes and all kinds of dates where I preached on the story of David and Goliath. See, Goliath came against Israel's position. The fight was about authority. The fight was about holding them at bay. Remember? 40 days, Goliath had taunted the army of Israel until David came along. And David challenged his authority. He said, Who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is? Why would he make mention that he was uncircumcised? Because circumcision was the sign of covenant. So he was saying, he's not even in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So who does he think he is holding us who are in covenant with God at bay, exerting his authority? His fight was about authority. The fight with King Og was about possession. It was about taking the promise of God. It had already been that they were the children, that they were the people of covenant with the God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why King Sihon wouldn't let them pass through his city. They had already heard, remember, when the spies went into Jericho, and Rahab told them, we've heard about you people. We've heard stories about how your God delivered you from the hand of the wicked Pharaoh, and how the Red Sea parted and you crossed over on dry land. God has kept you all of these years. We've heard about you people. So their authority, who they were, their identity, was not an issue. But possessing what already belonged to them was the issue with this guy. With Goliath, it was about authority, who they were, who was, had the greater influence. With Og, it was about possession. Or taking the promise of God. And we know that we're going to encounter many giants in our life. Nobody knows if there's giants in the secular world that we encounter. We're all going to encounter giants in our lives. Spiritually speaking, though, like the meaning of Og's name. Remember I told you, his name meant round. It meant to move in a circle around a fixed point. It actually, that ancient root, it actually means gyrate. Most of the time when you say gyrate, everybody that's old enough to know probably goes to Elvis. But you go there. But it literally means to encircle and move in a circle and focus on a fixed point. That's what Og's name means in the Hebrew. David said, when I'm surrounded by my enemies, I put my trust in God. He's my shield, my buckler, my defense. His name is a strong tower. And the righteous run up into it, and they are safe. So spiritually speaking, we all face giants who surround us. They surround us by... See, you don't have to have an army when you're 12 foot tall. Right? You don't have to have all these little imps. But just that giant over, towering over you and encircling you, especially if you give him the awe and respect and the reverence because of how big he is, or his stature, or his ability, or what he represents. So he just encircles you. And you're his focus. So spiritually speaking, we all face a giant like that. And he'll focus on you. I know I say a lot, but you got to understand the importance of this tool that the enemy uses, this tool of destruction. You lose all focus on what matters, and your focus becomes on that one that has pulled your attention away. You ever tried to talk to somebody that's looking at the phone? You ever tried to preach that it's looking at the phone? You're in your car. That's why it's called distracted driving. Because when you're in your car, your attention is supposed to be where?
On driver.
On the road. Now, when we take our eyes off the road, we're putting all our faith in the other drivers. Now, I don't know about you, but I have lots of trouble with other drivers. And me, where I had my second neck surgery, it has thrown my balance off. Like, I can't park straight anymore. It drives me crazy. My truck can look as straight as a poker. And I get out, and it's like this. And there's times I'll attempt to fix it, and I'll think, yeah, that's right. I get out, and it's the exact same way. And so, if I turn my head because I can't, I have to turn my whole body, I can't turn my neck. If I turn to look at something, like if we're traveling, the land's like, look at that house, or look at that building, and I do the least of this, it really does. It just grows with me. So it doesn't take much to get me distracted or to pull me off the road. And so, you know, when you're and a lot of folks do it. Some maybe more often than others. But we lose focus on what matters. And so those giants will encircle you to get you distracted, to get your focus off of what matters most, and that's keeping your heart and your mind set, transformed, renewed. Are you with me? And so distraction is what the enemy is trying to do when he encircles you. Now here he is, this giant, 12, 13 foot tall, standing 2 to 3 times over some of you, some of you shorter people. And if you are distracted by what he's doing, that he's going to help you. He's going to stop you from progressing. And so he gets past trying to convince you about. You don't question whether or not you're saved. That's not the issue anymore. There's a time in a walk when, you know, and I know for some, because of things in their life, they struggle with that a lot longer, and some for many years until they get breakthrough and deliverance from that. But it's not about trying to get you to question your position. See, that was a 9-foot-9 giant named Goliath that was trying to exert his position, trying to get you to question your identity. And you got past that place. So it's no longer about you questioning your position with God. You don't question the covenant. You don't question who you are because of who he is. Now the goal is to get you to not take possession of the covenant promises that have already been delivered to you because of your position in Christ. And so now it's that 13-foot giant that's encircling you and trying to halt you, if he can get you distracted to where you stop in your tracks. Wow, this is a big problem. I've never dealt with anything like this before. I'm not sure there's a way out. I don't know how this is going to change. You stand in awe and give respect to the giant instead of keeping your focus. And what it does is it halts you, it stops you, and keeps you from moving into taking possession. We already have everything that the covenant promises us. I'm not talking about houses and lands and that kind of thing. That's included in there that needs to be. But I'm talking about the spiritual blessings. And so every step we take possession. When we fall and we mess up and we get up and we take that next step, we're taking possession. We're moving into closer and closer and gaining more and more ground. Wherever the sole of your foot shall step, shall be given to you. It's already yours. You just have to take it, right? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that you're not going to feel things. But the Lord spoke to me and said, Moses was that silent giant killer. See, everybody, when David killed Goliath, it was noise abroad. Not many talked about. Now for me, if I'm going to compare apples to apples, the giant Moses defeated was a much greater challenge and greater victory than with Goliath. Not just the giant, but the things that he had to destroy and kill and take in the process. 60 cities inhabited by King Og's people. And God said to Moses, when you see him, don't you stand in awe of him. And give him respect because he's a giant. I'm afraid we give too much respect to the enemy for who he is and what he can do. Are you with me? Not many talk about Moses' giant killing. We don't hear the songs, the stories. It's not taught to the kids at Sunday school. But it made all the difference in the future and the destiny of all of God's people. David's defeating Goliath moved him into his position as king. Moses' defeat of King Og moved them into possession of their promises. So it wasn't a question. It wasn't a question about who we are. That was a new generation, remember? All the old doubters and all except for Joshua and Caleb were gone. So it's time to move in and take giant that some of you are facing in the spirit today. And I know you are, or else God would have spoke this to me. Maybe you stood and give it too much respect in all of how big, how difficult, how strong, how long. Are you hearing me? Because the enemy can't get you to doubt who you are in Christ. See, in this season I've been in, I've never questioned who I am in Christ. That's never been an issue. It's been on the things on the other side. There was a time in my walk when I questioned my salvation. And the enemy was telling me every day, you ain't saved. You're not a Christian. And so I get that. And maybe for some of you, that is your giant today. That God is speaking to someone, some people today, and saying, don't give that giant any respect. I don't care. The Bible says that the iron bed remained to remind them nobody would ever need to sleep in that bed again. Nobody's ever going to need a 13 and a half foot long bed. Come on. Now, I guess big family could sleep in it, make use of it, but you know what I'm talking about. No one would ever need that much bed to stretch their legs and to get comfortable and to sleep in. Because iron bed, it could sure hold a family of 10 or 12, probably. Because here's the thing, and maybe there's some of you that are here, and I'm about to close. But here's the thing. Once you give that giant respect, once you give that giant the Yahweh, fear in the form of Pekod comes next. Remember, Pekod was in terror, afraid for your safety. Once you give that giant, that Yahweh, that awe and that respect and that reverence in position, that's the fear that you'll begin to question God's provision and God's providence and God's protection over your life. Been there, done that. lot of people, again, it's not about your faith and the fact that you're saved. It's about whether he wants to provide for you and do for you what you see him doing for others. So if you give that giant the Yahweh, the pecan is going to come next. Both of them are fear, but one is respect and awe, and the other is terror. So I come this morning to tell somebody, face that giant and be a silent giant killer. No one will probably ever know about it. No one's ever going to write a song about you. No one's ever going to write a... But be like Moses. Be that silent giant killer. Because God has already determined your demise. He's already determined your victory. He told Moses, I've already delivered him into your hands. That when you look at him as if he is just another king. So I don't know who's here today who's facing that. Oh, yeah. Say, get ready to come to the music. I don't know who's facing that giant, but I believe some of you have given the enemy too much respect. We would tend to say credit. It's not the same thing. It's to stand in awe and reverence and respect for who he is. God told Moses in so many words, I got this dude. I needed him. And I can put him out with my thumb that quick. I've already got your victory schedule. Don't get distracted. It's not about authority. It's not about position. It's about possession. Because the enemy wants to stop you from going any further into the blessing. I don't understand his ways. I'll never understand his ways. And I question his ways sometimes. Talking to the other night at Bible study, you know, asking God why, and you never get an answer. I never have any. Do you stand with me across this place?